and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the words from the Epistle of James, chapter 5,
verses 7 to 11.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord.
Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains.
You too be patient.
Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience,
take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold,
we count those blessed who endured.
You have heard of the endurance of Job,
and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. There was once a man who learned from some Indian friends about a lake in an uncharted wilderness area of northern Canada where the fish supposedly were plentiful and unusually large. Being an avid fisherman as he was, the man continued to ask for more and more details about the location of the lake until he had enough facts to convince him that the lake really existed, as well as the general area of its location and some of the general characteristics and rivers to guide him. And upon receiving such information, he decided to find the lake for himself. He took with himself his son and also an Indian guide who was somewhat familiar with the general area. With two boats loaded full of equipment, they started out in search of this lake of the legends. It took nearly 2.5 months for them to reach their goal, dragging their boats up rushing streams, carrying the boats and equipment through forests and through mountains and over mountains, fighting mosquitoes, weathering storms, defending themselves from wild animals and the like. The man tells the story that along the way he was often discouraged and had frequent thoughts of turning back. But whenever these times of depression came upon him, he would remind himself of his goal, of the end that he had in mind when he started, and upon such consideration, he would have new courage to continue on. Well, some of us, perhaps most of us, would think that such a trip of such duration would be foolish indeed and a waste of time and energy. But for this man, who was an avid fisherman, it was not. For in his mind, the end that he was looking for and which he eventually found was worth all the trouble and difficulty that he endured. If the end that you have in mind is important enough, you will gladly endure almost anything to reach it. This is the point of the lesson that the Apostle James has for us today. He is writing to Jewish people who were recent converts to Christianity. They were scattered throughout all of Asia Minor as a result of the persecution that resulted in the early church. Some of these people no doubt had comfortable lives to begin with before they became Christians. They had comfortable jobs and homes. But they were forced to flee from their homes and jobs, and many were living in strange communities where they were forced to serve as common laborers and perhaps even slaves to the wealthy in order just to survive. And no doubt their thoughts frequently turned to how easy and uncomplicated life was before they had become Christians. They were jealous of the wealthy and of having to work for these people who had such luxuries and enjoyed such pleasures. It seemed unfair to them that the ungodly would prosper so, while God's own people were mistreated and made to suffer as they did. J- James uses the words of the text this morning to teach us a very important lesson. If you keep in mind the end that God has in store for his own, you can endure and, yes, even rejoice, no matter how miserable your life may be in the present. The same day of judgment which fills the ungodly with wails and agonies, such as is described in the first 6 verses of this chapter from James, this same day of judgment fills the godly with shouts of joy. While the Lord's coming spells doom for the ungodly, it brings deliverance to those whom the Lord claims as his own. It is because of this that James encourages these Jewish Christians to be patient. To be patient, a theme which he begins from the very start of his epistle. James looks for evidence of faith in the lives of believers in 2 ways. One, perhaps we are more aware of, in the good works that it produces in the lives of believers. And the other in the patience of believers, their willingness to wait confidently for the Lord, knowing that he will ultimately give them the victory. James then proceeds to direct the believers to 3 different examples of people who waited on the Lord and who were not disappointed. First, he says, behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. The farmer goes out and plants his wheat seeds in the fall, and then waits patiently for the fall rains to allow the grain to sprout and to root so that it is able to endure the oncoming snow and cold of winter. After the long winter months are over, he again waits patiently for the coming spring rains that will help the grain to grow. And then again he awaits finally for the grain to ripen so that it may be harvested. The farmer is willing to wait because the harvest is very precious to him. It is worth waiting for. And his patience and waiting is full of hope. He has experienced God's goodness in the past, and he is confident again that it will also continue, even as God's promise that seed time and harvest shall not cease. And if it should be that the crops do fail in 1 year, he begins waiting patiently then for the next year. James says that believers demonstrate that same kind of patient waiting as they also look forward, as they look forward to the coming of their Lord. They can also afford to wait patiently because the end result of their waiting is so worthwhile: rescue from the sins and pains of this life and the promise of eternal bliss and joy in the presence of Christ. And, like the farmer, the believer waits in hope. In fact, the believer has an even more certain hope than the farmer does. You see, the farmer's waiting may indeed be in vain. It may be that time and again, year after year, he suffers crop failure time and again. But the believer knows and is certain that his waiting is not in vain. God has never failed to keep his promise. He has even kept that most difficult promise, namely sending his son in the form of a bondservant who humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, the death of a cross. The believer is absolutely certain, therefore, that God will also keep his promise, that he will come again and take to himself all who by God's grace through faith cling to the merits of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For his second example of patience, James turns to the Old Testament prophets and says, "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Well, these Jewish Christians were very familiar with the life histories of these men of old, men such as Moses, Elijah, and Isaiah, and the other great prophets, how they were called by God to be his messengers, and how often they were despised, rejected, and even persecuted by their own people. But they endured it all, and endured it in patience, because they knew that they belonged to the Lord and that they were involved in his mission among men. Well, believers can and should expect to be treated with scorn and hatred by the unbelieving people of this world. The world could not tolerate Christ. What reason then do we have to believe that the world will be more tolerant to us? Is believers. But we can endure all the ridicule and suffering that the world can pour upon us, because like the prophets, we know that we are the Lord's and that we are engaged in his mission among men as well. Finally, James directs his readers to the example of Job, as was read earlier. Job, who was deprived of property, family, health, reputation, the affection of his wife, and even burdened with the criticism of his three friends. But he did not lose faith in God during all of this. He submitted to the will of God, and even in this life, the God whom he trusted rewarded him with double of everything that he had lost. James does not introduce this example of Job to assure believers that God will give them some physical reward for their patient suffering during their lifetime. But rather, he says it to assure us that God is full of mercy, that he is merciful toward his own, and not only promises bliss and eternal joy in the hereafter for us, but that also frequently he also showers us with tangible expressions of his love in this life as well. While they are waiting for the Lord to return, James urges the believers not to murmur against one another, a temptation that would indeed be very great. As God's people wait for his return, they are tempted to sit in judgment of one another, to feel that perhaps some are not suffering enough, or that perhaps some are not giving enough evidence of their faith. There is the temptation for the more educated to look down on those with less learning, and for the less educated to look to those with more education with suspicion. James warns against these temptations because, as he says, the coming of the Lord is at hand. His coming is imminent, and how tragic it would be if he suddenly would return and find us engaged in controversy and criticism of one another rather than in lives of love and service that characterizes those who love their Lord and anxiously await his return. So the advice of James for us this morning is to keep the end in mind. To keep in our mind the end, which will enable us to look forward to Christ's second coming with patience and eager anticipation, because his coming means for us deliverance, freedom, and eternal joy. May God grant this to us all. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.